Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. With each new episode, I have a special guest, and today's episode is no different. Today we have TV writer, or writer also, not just TV, and comedian Anna Drezin joining us. Anna, how are you?
Hello, I'm really good.
This is an extra special episode because the studio dog, Ella, is also in the studio. So if you hear a dog panting, that's Ella.
I'm electrified by Ella. We've met before under different circumstances. There were two other dogs here. There was a lot of chaos. But right now, Ella is much like Eddie in that she is one dog who's staring at me in a very nice apartment.
It's extra fun for me to have the dog in here because I can continue to cosplay a bit. As I'm sure,
as Frasier.
If you haven't already, right, if you haven't figured out, in my head, I'm Frasier. Whoever's over here is Roz. And then, of course,
oh, that's great. Yeah. I do identify with Roz, and I like Frasier for you as an energy.
Oh, yay.
yeah, you've got your headphones on. You've got your mic.
That's true. I don't have a transatlantic accent. Well, that's basically because he talks kind of like old timey.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Not something I understood when I was younger, but now
I do. Yeah, when I was younger, I thought it was a show about British people.
Yeah.
I was like, why is he talking like that?
I think I definitely thought that, but I thought it was interesting that his dad didn't talk like that.
I know.
But he and Niles did.
It's a lot like Succession where it's like, you know, mid-Atlantic family.
I need to watch that.
Oh, I'm addicted.
All right.
I'm excited that people are getting into it.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a slow burn, at least in my opinion. I've just seen more and more people talking about it on social media, and now it's...
I was electrified by the first season, and now I love that my friends are watching it too because it was my favorite show then. It is my favorite show now.
Amazing.
Aside from Frasier.
And that's why you're here today.
Yeah.
I asked you, and listeners, if you're curious, how did I find out Anna was a Frasier fan? Well, I did a live show with John Hodgman back in the spring, and I posted some pictures of it on my Instagram, and I just saw Anna comment on the photos, and the moment I even get a whiff of a possible Frasier fan, I have to contact them immediately.
An FF? Frasier fan.
Frasier fan.
Yeah, Craniac.
The first time I heard that, Josh Gondelman said that.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I just know that he was the one that said it, and it was the first time I ever heard it when he was on this podcast, and I love saying it now.
He and I are brothers, so.
Aww. Yeah. Right, so you get it. I also wanted to mention you have a podcast as well.
Sure.
Correct? It's called Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod.
It is.
And it's Scary Stories?
It's about the Scary Stories books by Alvin Schwartz and Stephen Gamel. It's a series of spooky stories for children from the 80s and 90s that we go through and we read them. And then we also read creepypastas and urban legends and listener-submitted actual ghost stories.
I was listening to your most recent episode, and I... I turned it off because I got too scared.
Oh, yeah. That's one where we read the Matt Gehring story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back It brings back a lot of childhood nostalgia where I'm like, if I say Bloody Mary three times, Bloody Mary's going to appear. So
well,
I need to get over
we
that.
Go over Bloody Mary, I think, in the first Urban Legisode.
Ooh.
That there's like a psychological phenomenon that happens if you stare into a mirror in a dark room for too long, that like your brain starts, your peripheral vision starts to go weird and things start to like melt and disappear and like blink in and out. Ooh, it's very spooky.
All right. I'm going to go back.
Yeah, go back and listen to that one. But also, yeah, the most recent Urban Legisode was about a story by our friend Matt Gehring that happened to him, that as soon as you hear about it, it allegedly happens to you, which I'm here to say it did not happen to me.
Okay.
It's like a, it's sort of like It Follows, which is for like a scary ghost story.
That movie, first time I saw it, very scary. Now I watch it and it's very humorous, but also in
really?
Enjoy, but the first time I saw it really, really scared me.
That's the exact kind of movie I could not watch because it's too scary for me.
And it's funny. I'm surprised that I got too spooked, and I'm going to gather my courage and finish listening to the episode from your recent podcast. But I do love scary movies, and maybe it's because I know they're fake, but when they're like real, I think that's when I start to get spooked.
Well, you know, what helps me is to remember that people's minds are very powerful things, and
especially the anxiety-ridden brain, such as mine.
Which brings us back to
Frasier.
Yes.
So I've brought you for what I'd consider to be one of my more scientific episodes. I call it scientific because it took research. I basically was inspired by a Frasier post. I'm not going to name any names because these are anonymous groups. Or no, they're not. There's Frasier fan groups online, but I'm not going to mention anyone's names.
You can't, because then you'll get friggin' blackballed.
And I would be heartbroken if I got blackballed from the Frasier groups.
This would be the sharing of screenshots equivalent
exactly.
of a podcast. Yeah.
But what inspired today's topic is somebody posted about an episode of Frasier that came out, I believe it was season 10. It was a later episode where Frasier and Niles learn how to ride a bike. And honestly, it's an episode season 10, episode 16. It's called Fraternal Schwins. Don't remember why.
Good God.
But somebody posted.
They're not even twins.
I know. There's probably.
It's fine.
It's something. But somebody posted in the group about the episode and said, you know, it made me remember made me wonder how many other people don't know how to ride a bike. Because this person who posted didn't know how to ride a bike.
How many other Frasier fans?
Tons.
Yeah.
So she wrote about it and then lots of people replied. Oh. I too don't know how to ride a bike.
Really?
I almost learned. I took adult bike riding classes about 4 years ago, and then went on a little Euro trip about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was just a bit traumatized because I took a bike tour and then crashed into a wall. And
God.
It's not like I got super hurt, but it was embarrassing.
Of course.
And that was the last time I was on a bike. So I'm not going to call myself a bike rider.
I don't blame you for being afraid. I think bikes shouldn't work, and the fact that they do is troubling.
In a city, especially this city.
Oh, yeah, no.
Couldn't do it.
I tried to be a bike person for a little bit, and I would just cry in the middle of roads.
I have a bike. It's in my hallway in my apartment. It's there. It's ready. So when the time comes and I feel like I'm in a place, maybe I'll get back on it. But so after I saw how many people didn't know how to ride a bike, it got me thinking, what else do we have in common, Frasier fans? Because I know that there are a lot of memes in these Frasier groups that are, you know, joke about anxiety. Granted, lots of people have anxiety.
Oh, my God.
But what I did was basically I wrote a post in a few Frasier groups and asked people, what do we all have in common? This is something I started working on a while ago, and I didn't even know who I was going to get to share it with.
I'm just excited to be a part of this process because you are sort of the Frasier and Niles Crane of this podcast studio right now.
Thank you so much.
And it's exciting.
And
to
you're
be a part
the Roz.
I am the Roz. Yeah.
And
I've seen a dick before, which is my defining personality trait.
She has all the best lines too. So here's what I did. I wrote this post in some Frasier groups and said, let me start. I'm going to tell you some personal things about myself, and I want to see how many of you have these in common. So here's the list. I worked as a cheesemonger for 8 years.
You worked as one?
I was.
For 8 years?
Yes. I started when I was 15. It was my first job.
Whoa.
I started as a stock girl. There was a cheese shop in my town in Connecticut.
Oh.
Fell in love, walked in. They said, well, we do need help for the holidays.
We need a teen.
And then within 6 months, they upgraded me to the counter. And then when I moved to New York, I did it all back and forth through college. Then when I moved to New York, I worked at Murray's Cheese.
Oh my God. While I was in college. I was going
to ask. Yes,
that's the only cheesemonger I know in New York.
Sadly, the biggest, because a lot of celebrities would come in, but the one that I had the privilege to meet was the dad from Seventh Heaven, who I believe is in prison now.
Yeah, for bad things.
For bad things. Keep in mind, though, when I did see him, it was before. I didn't know. That's,
what cheese did he... what cheese did he get? Entertain himself with.
Well, given that at the time, you know, I'd call him a celebrity of sorts.
Sure.
He got probably a semi-soft, stinky cheese, I would say.
Great.
The celebs tend to be more adventurous. Yeah. So at least in magazines, I read that.
I do feel like a cheese plate is a thing that is put out for famous people more than regular people.
Yeah,
we have it at work for that. It's just like a hospitality thing. And I feel like you get more hospitality plates when you're famous.
Oh, absolutely.
But they are like all exactly the same.
Yeah, there's not a lot of and as an intern who or just even a person who's worked having to do crafty and stuff like on set. The plates are very, as a cheese ex-cheesemonger, very disappointing to me. It's a lot of cubed cheeses.
Yeah.
Not a lot of personality.
Did you ever cut a cheese into a cube?
Oh, yeah. There's some that are okay for me that I'm fine with for cubes. But the thing about the good cheese often is some of it's very smelly. I was an intern at the Colbert Report like 9 years ago, and I love, and I still do this depending on where I work and the vibe is right. I like to make a cheese plate, have a wine and cheese party if I can. And I found a very stinky cheese, and it stunk up the entire floor for the writers. I mean, they liked the cheese, but it was definitely embarrassing because like people would walk up and be like, why does it smell like gym socks in here? And that's when I like learned my lesson. There's a reason sometimes the cheese plates don't get too fancy in the green room.
It's important to take on comedy internships if you do want a job in the field so you can figure out what kind of smells are worth the taste.
So Anna, you're a writer on SNL. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, and I have seen you were talking about the plates, the cheese plates and other plates. I have noticed those seem to be prevalent during the read-throughs. I've just seen in the photos that are posted on the Instagram.
Yeah, this is public knowledge.
I see corners of plates. Do you feel satisfied? I don't know if that's you. This, I don't want you to get in trouble.
I know.
Do you feel like the plates are satisfying you? Or maybe I don't even have to ask you, but what do you like to eat during a read through?
It's difficult because there is like a table full of food, but it's like you've been up all night and you're nervous.
Sure.
And like there's just a lot of adrenaline pumping and you had pizza at like 3 a.m. and like a bunch of caffeine to hurt your body. So like your stomach is sort of a delicate orchid during these moments. So like I usually go for a peanut butter and jelly.
All right.
They have them cut in half. The peanut butter and jelly is sort of like the things you would feed like a 5-year-old that you were babysitting one time who you didn't really know are the things that I feel safe eating, like a peanut butter and jelly, a baby carrot.
That sounds like pretzels. Me when I have to host a party. I'm not very hungry. I'm too focused. I've got a lot going on. I do have a lot of adrenaline. And so now that you talk about it, it makes sense that there's no stinky cheese at a read-through.
There's no stinky cheese. It's usually like maybe like a pepper jack, a Monterey Jack, a Swiss.
Standard
fare.
That's okay. I respect that. There's different reasons for different cheese plates.
It's so funny. I do prefer a slice of cheese than a cube. And it makes me think about the amount of cubes that I've seen and tried and thought about. And
they're really easy to eat, which is...
I know. Well, my family would... I'm so sorry to take up so much time with the cheese.
No, it's fine.
But my family vacations in Vermont every year, and it's like an hour north of the Cabot Creamery, like the Cabot Cheddar. And if you go to the store, like the headquarters, it's all big ceramic bowls full of cubes cheese.
Oh my gosh.
And I would say conservatively 30 bowls of cheese.
Whoa.
Including a really big bowl towards the front that's popcorn covered in their cheddar dust, which I don't think they call it cheddar dust, but it is what the product is.
I love cheddar dust.
So like every year it was like battling my parents to be like, this is why we should go to the cheese house.
The cheese house. Well, I'm just grateful, and I know we're talking a lot about cheese. Obviously, I mean, it's something I'm passionate about. It sounds like you are too.
Oh, very.
I'm grateful that I spent my very early years when I could eat. I, I ate a lot of cheese. Don't think that I was like nibbling. I mean, I was really going for it because I was working in the cheese shops in the shops from like 8 years after. Is that 23?
Yeah.
Till I was 23. And for me, there were less consequences back then.
Yeah.
Less stomach aches.
You're closer to the breast.
And it wasn't just cheese. Like the last place I worked at, which no longer exists, but it was called Blue Apron, same as the delivery service, saw most all my celebs there because it was in Park Slope. It was at the corner of Union and 7th Avenue. So I like Maggie Gyllenhaal, John Turturro. I missed Steve Buscemi, which I was really bummed about. I don't know. I felt like I needed to tell you about those.
He's a Park Slope patron saint.
There you go. But so I was eating charcuterie, you know, the meats, the cheeses. Oh. There were, they had whitefish salad. I'd eat a lot of that. I'd eat a lot of olives. I really went to town. So I'm grateful because I can't do it now. Despite the fact that I'm like too cheap to buy a huge block of expensive cheese, my tummy kills
your
me.
Can't do it.
But back to this very important list. Okay.
Science.
So what do Frasier fans have in common? Maybe. Well, this is what they know about me so far. I worked as a cheesemonger. I also do not have a driver's license. I do not know how to drive. I lost my virginity in my 20s.
Yep.
Thank you very much. I have generalized anxiety disorder. Yep. I'm an only child. I'm closer with my dad than my mom. Still love you, mom. But I'm closer with my mom. I'm closer with my dad. And I felt like I wanted to mention that because of the dynamic on the show between the fact that the dad and the son are very close. The mom's not in the picture.
She exploded.
When I'm alone, I always like to have a show playing in the background because it makes me feel like someone's home. Usually it's Frasier. I was briefly a psychology major, for 2 years in college, then I switched. And my last fact, I'm a big fan of ASMR videos. Do you know what ASMR videos
Yes.
are? Okay.
I don't like them.
You don't like them. So, okay, why don't you like them?
I find them they just don't work on me, and also I just find them to be annoying.
All right, because, it's understandable, some feedback I've gotten from people I know that don't like ASMR, understandably find it a bit creepy.
It doesn't take it takes a lot to creep me out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't, it doesn't switch me on.
Cardi B had a great tweet about it, which I can't find, but she is a big ASMR fan, and she said something along the lines of, like, people finding my ASMR videos is as embarrassing to me as them finding my pornography.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is because I think there are so many different forms of ASMR, including a lot of role playing. So that stuff will pop up on my feed when I'm like on my on our TV in my apartment with my boyfriend, and it's like a whole
you just
list.
Said appointment, which appointment? Is an apartment with your boyfriend. I do think we should call them appointments.
Appointments with my boyfriend.
I live in an apartment, a boyfriend apartment.
I live in a boyfriend apartment with my appointment. But yes, he constantly makes fun of me because he'll see things come up like receptionist ASMR, woman, little sister getting her makeup done, and that's the stuff that kind of creeps me out.
Instructional stuff.
I don't know why it has to specify little sister, but regardless, there's nothing sexual in nature in the videos.
Sure.
For me, it is purely a tool that helps me go to sleep. I need a perfect setting for sleep. I can't just fall asleep.
Sleep is a noble inspiration for watching such things.
Oh, of course.
I think that's the kind of thing you could tell people about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really like videos of like blocks of sand getting sliced.
That
works for me. I don't know that that's ASMR. I think that's just, what's it called?
Oddly satisfying. Yes.
Yeah.
Oddly satisfying. I would put in a next door neighbor. So yes, ASMR videos, they're not for everybody. So from all these things, before I move into what I compiled, which was a chart where essentially I posted, here are all these things about me. Frasier fans, do we have these in common? I got a lot of responses. It was very interesting. So many that, I made a chart in a Google Excel doc. But before we get there, I am curious, are any of the things that I just listed, and I'm happy to list them again, do they overlap for you at all?
I'd say 2/3 of them overlap.
Okay.
I do know how to ride a bike.
Okay.
I've never worked as a cheesemonger, but I would
it's
say
rare.
That.
It's
rare. I think it's that thing where like John Travolta isn't like a pilot. Like he doesn't work as a pilot, but he flies a lot. Sure. I do think that I have my hours.
Right.
I have enough hours to be a cheesemonger, I think.
Well, to me, not to ruin the chart results, but it was inconclusive. And here's why.
Okay.
Because no one was a cheesemonger, but most people, similarly to you, were passionate about cheese.
Yeah.
See, I could tell you weren't passionate, especially because you knew what a cheesemonger was. You wouldn't believe how often I get the question, what is a cheesemonger? And I have to say, it's like a fishmonger, but with cheese.
Oh, boy. You're not doing any favors for your industry.
I should go back.
She's fine with the stinks. She's made her peace with the stinks. Not a cheesemonger. I do know how to ride a bike.
Okay.
I have an older brother, mm-hmm. so I'm not an only child. And I do have a driver's license, but I am terrified of driving and I haven't driven in, I think, 5 years. So
oh, wow.
I feel like I could drive a car if someone was giving birth or something, but I wouldn't want to.
Got it.
And I have generalized anxiety disorder, not to be a bitch, but I...
I feel you, sister. I'm taking Lexapro, and it's been very helpful for
me. That's great. I stopped taking Zoloft over the course of the last year and a half, and it's a helpful... But it's a, you know, it collects a payment.
Sure. Yes. That is true.
But I'm on other stuff.
And I'm happy for you.
Brag.
So anxiety.
Yeah. What were the other ones?
You love cheese.
Love cheese.
How about, were you ever a psych major?
No, but I thought about it. I did go to school for acting. And so the thing that you would say as like... A gifted high school senior is like, well, maybe I'll like get like a minor in psychology as like a backup, which is really funny.
I regret that I didn't do something more like political science.
What did you go for?
So I did go to school for psych for 2 years. And then I remembered that I'm very bad at math and science. And then I moved to New York. I went to Brooklyn College and I went to school for film and TV. So screenwriting.
You gotta.
It was all right. But again, I do wish, part of me wishes I learned more things about the world. But I read the news, although it's not very helpful. So really my next goal is to read more books. Not about women murderers and women getting murdered, which is my current genre.
I know.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I just did a whole show about true crime and now I'm in a tough place because it was my hobby and now I can't think about it without thinking about the show, which is a problem.
That is, well, I'm trying to take on, I know, I'm sorry, this is getting so off topic, but I just feel like you're going to appreciate this. I picked up a hobby that I used to have when I was in summer camp in middle school, which was I would make in arts and crafts. Oh, this was another category that someone else added in the comments, which was I was an indoor kid. A lot of indoor kids. I was an indoor kid. I made miniature food out of clay. Yeah, like little teeny tiny like spaghetti and meatballs, like cakes. So more recently, I've thought, you know what? I don't have that many hobbies. Like I watch a lot of TV and I love doing, you know, comedy and I like podcasts and stuff. But what's a thing I can do when I'm feeling, and I'm not a good cook, what's a thing I can do with my hands? Sometimes I feel like when I do things with my hands, it's a little relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought some clay on Amazon. I just made some spaghetti and meatballs. And that's all I've done. I don't know if I'm back in the hobby yet. Anyway.
Oh, that's so good.
That's my
I do appreciate that.
Hobby.
I got really into embroidery for a minute.
Ooh.
So I have a lot of the tools,
mm-hmm.
but then I decided staring at my phone was more productive and probably better for me. So I've been doing.
It's really good.
It's just hard to always have a bag of like hoops and needles. I've stabbed my under my nails. I'd say dozens of times.
I changed
my bag. So
I saw a woman on the train yesterday embroidering right next to me.
Amazing.
She looked really happy.
I like that it makes me feel like sort of a simple pioneer woman who also like works with her mind.
Yeah.
I like that it shows like I can do something aggressively feminine because I am the head of my household of one.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's a nice little like it's a little bit like of a like a your move.
Well, if you want a new hobby, miniature foods. And I'm not the only one because I looked it up online and I'm not talking about making actual food. There are very, very specific videos that will tell you how to make KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, a mini version out of clay. 4 million views on YouTube.
You are just like the queen of delicate fandoms.
I do love delicate fandoms. I kind of wish I had added mini foods in this list. And now for the real meat of the episode, which is the results. So I got a lot of results in terms of, you know, what do Frasier fans have in common? Now, given all of the categories that I gave you, what would you guess is the one that most people had in common?
I would say either only child or anxiety or can't ride a bike.
Anxiety number one. No competition.
That's great.
Got like twice as many answers as anything else.
Perfect.
Number two of the things that we had in common was being afraid of being alone and playing Frasier or a TV show in the background. I meant to ask you, do you ever do that? Like play something in the background? Doesn't have to be Frasier.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of podcasts, lots of audiobooks. Which sometimes I think I'm more productive with just straight up bareback silence.
Really? Oh, I can't.
Which is unfortunate. It's usually like when I start doing a task and I haven't yet put on a thing, and then I find that I do it much more efficiently if I don't have the thing to watch or listen to. But an audiobook and a podcast out loud through my phone is, that's what I do.
Well, you write all the time. So do you normally write in silence or do you have? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like I have my own, or not my own, I share an office, but I have an office now. When I used to work in like an open co-working space, which was right across from that cheese shop, and I used to look down at it sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I would put on headphones and music, but just most of the time. You also write a lot more with others, so.
See, that would be my dream. I would rather write with other people because it's collaborative and I don't know, other people are talking.
It's good.
So second most replied about was can't ride a bike. Oh, somebody added this category, which I should have because this is also true of me. I didn't have cable growing up.
Interesting.
Which for me makes a lot of sense because I didn't have cable growing up. That's why I know so much about sitcoms, because that's what I like. I don't know anything about Nickelodeon.
Oh, I'm like,
Frasier, Empty Nest, like Seinfeld. And then when I want to impress people over 48, I tell them I used to watch St. Elsewhere with my mom.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, because she used to tape it.
Was that the one that ended with the snow globe?
That is correct.
Cool.
And had an all-star cast. I mean, I'll just name a few. Mr. Feeney.
Okay.
Denzel Washington.
Wow.
Howie Mandel.
Stars.
Mark Harmon, star of NCIS.
Endless stars.
Which I think is still on. Yeah. So,
that
yes.
is a true little bird's nest of stars.
Absolutely. And then tied with not having cable growing up was being an only child.
Great.
Which is so interesting to me. I mean, I know that when I meet other only children, it's an exciting moment for me. That's I don't know so if funny. You have any preconceived notions, but it happens to me a lot where people are like, and I know they mean it as a compliment. They'll be like, you don't seem like an only child.
Oh, yeah. We make fun of my friend Mike Spence a lot for being aggressively only child, where he's like, can we go to the same place for dinner every day? Because we do this thing on my schedule. Or it's like, hey, do you want to hang out? And he's like, oh, I wish I could, but I have something until 2:30. And you're like, it's 2 now. We could hang out
so it's-
after...
Only child characteristics, you think? Like aggressively?
Or just like being very fixed.
Okay.
I think he would have been like that even if he was from like a Duggar situation. Sure. But yeah, I have been known to disparage the community.
It's fair. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm could be a good poster child for only children, setting a good example.
Yeah.
I get along.
You're
well
making
with
eye
people.
Contact.
Well, I'm also the kind of person that I take my friendships deeply serious, and all of my close friends will attest that I like to when I feel like we're very close, I'm like, you're like my sibling, you're like my brother, you're like my sister.
Yeah,
that's just me as an only child, so I'd like to think I'm not too selfish.
Wait, can I make like a guess about you?
Yeah.
Does your mom have sisters?
She has one sister.
Okay. You remind me of women I know who either have sisters or who come from a family with sisters.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the ones that I know, it's interesting. The people I know with sisters either have an amazing relationship or not on speaking terms. So
there you go.
I don't know if there's a middle ground. Oh,
I wonder how different Frasier would be if they had had a sister.
I can't even imagine. And who would she be played by? Something to think about.
Oh man, can we cast it? Not Jane Lynch yet. Like if Frasier were like bumped 10 years into the future, I think that would be her.
Who's a good transatlantic woman
who like wasn't also already in Frasier? Because I feel like that was everyone. I feel like Cherry Jones would have gone in for it, but they would have wanted like a TV star or a movie person.
I'm like fully blanking. I'm trying to think of someone of that time.
Yeah.
Even. And I'm struggling. I mean, I would say Lilith if they hadn't already been married and was cast as his wife.
Oh, boy.
Because they are very similar.
They are.
They're very similar.
There you go.
So was, honestly, so was Diane. Diane was very similar.
Which one is Diane?
Diane was Diane Chambers was his second wife. And that was.
Oh, from Cheers.
From Cheers.
Yeah, but they were married for like a second.
I should say she left him at the altar.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And she's also like, he definitely, the wives, those two wives were very similar to Frasier. But I'm trying to think of somebody that he kind of like, that a woman could like be related to him. And I'm like fully blanking on anyone. How about an actor that's dead? Like Katharine Hepburn immediately comes to mind.
Okay, yeah.
Like somebody,
like an older half sister.
Somebody who is no longer with us, I feel like could play the role of Frasier's sister. But I can't think of anyone current right now.
Oh man, if it was like season two, maybe Joan Rivers. Like Ooh. If much like an older half sibling.
Perhaps.
From like Martin's like army days being stationed in Germany or something. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know.
Well, that we'll come back to it. Comes to you,
sound off in the comments.
Who could play Frasier's sister that never was?
And specify which season, because if it's before season three, it's up in the air. If it's after season three, it's got to be a star.
Got it.
And if it's after season eight, we need like an A-lister.
All right, that's a good point. Oh yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of it that way.
Oh, listen.
Yeah, no, the list is incredible. Even just of callers, but yeah, Patrick Stewart in the later seasons.
What?
Patrick Stewart plays...
I have no memory of that.
Oh, man, that was a great episode. Or story arc. He plays... Essentially, he's a very successful... maybe playwright, actor, somehow involved in theater. And befriends Frasier, but doesn't realize that Frasier is straight. And then Frasier wants to be like friends with this guy because he's like in the in crowd. But then everyone thinks they're dating, and then Frasier goes along with it for a while because he's so happy to be in the circle.
It's so funny. I remember that story arc, but I don't remember that it was Sir P.S.
Well, there is definitely more than one episode about mistaken gay identity.
Oh, it's funny that he seems gay but isn't.
Oh,
we
yeah.
love that.
It's a whole thing.
He slays.
Absolutely.
Slays the puss. I did want to say puss, but then I said he slays, and it made it sound like I was saying like he's gay and I don't want that to get out, and like
he slays the V.
He has so much sex.
He has a lot of sex with a few models, and it's very hard to believe. Still more believable than, because I mean I tend to rewatch the same shows over and over, including Seinfeld, and with Frasier I'm like, there's certain moments where I see his charm, but then I think of like George Costanza, and then that's when I have a hard time. I'm like, George Costanza doesn't even have any redeeming qualities. I don't know how he gets anyone, and the only thing I can think of is this is TV. It's not a real.
It's TV, but you gotta also understand that Frasier takes place in Seattle, and the West Coast has more single men.
Interesting.
So, wait, hold on. I'm not arguing this right. Yeah. So it's So women have more options on the West Coast. New York has fewer options. Also, I kind of get George Costanza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
He's really persistent.
Okay, that's true. There's a whole episode about that.
But yeah, were we just talking about?
I don't remember.
It's fine.
But
oh, I lost my virginity in my 20s also.
Oh yeah, I was 23. This was this is one of my favorite responses to this a young lady or a lady of a certain age. I'm not sure what age. I don't know. I said young lady. said lost virginity. I lost my virginity on my birthday. Don't lose your virginity on your birthday unless you want to think about what a loser your ex is every year on your birthday.
Aww.
That's tough.
That's hard.
I mean, yeah. So lots of late virginity people. And then after that, late virginity tied with psych majors at some point. Also not that surprising to me. I'm pretty sure psych is a very popular major.
Yeah.
Fairly certain.
It's a great thing to have as an undergrad. That will do nothing for you if you don't also go to higher education.
Now there were some there was a category that somebody added here that other people started to reply to.
People are just adding categories.
Bullied. Bullied was on here.
Oh.
And that's a tough one. I feel fortunate that for me, the best case scenario to me, you'd have to pay me to go back to high school. Don't even miss it for one second. And it wasn't even because I had a terrible time. I wasn't bullied. But I would say my rule was I want to stay out of the limelight in high school and not get picked on. Because would I say I was popular? No. I had two very close friends, and the idea was stay out of the light. Other people are going to get bullied, not me. I'm just going to be very quiet, and no one's going to notice me to pick on me, if that makes any sense.
I absolutely relate to that. I would go to school. I would go to my many extracurricular activities, and I would go home.
Yeah.
I had one boyfriend in high school.
Ooh la la.
I had two. And the only times that I would see them were in school.
Oh.
So that gives you an idea of where I was starting from. And I also I relate to benching myself from the public discourse of being a teen, because I felt that being a teen was an indignity.
Oh yeah.
Because it just I didn't relate. I was like those teens that you see wearing chandelier earrings and mascara and a dark lipstick who just looks like her mom.
Well, see, I think I know the type, because I definitely knew at least one to two young ladies. Stop saying young ladies. Girls like that.
Old bags.
Old bags. I don't know why young lady. I feel like I've been called young lady and I've been annoyed by it.
Yeah, it's
but
rough.
Now that I'm 31.
We're the same age.
I guess.
Oh my God. I thought you were truly 25.
You know, a lot of people think that also. I do have a backpack today.
Your skin is perfect.
Thank you so much. I don't know where it comes from. I know it comes from my father's side of the family. I feel very lucky about
that.
Oh
boy.
I try to just eat. Another thing that I think is different from high school than now, if now that we're talking about high school, I felt embarrassed about the nice things. I think I used to be oh, skin, but look at this part of me, disgusting. But now I'm oh yeah, I love the good skin.
Soak it up.
I'm grateful for it. I'm happy for it. And I'm very happy when I get carded. It's the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love getting carded.
I'm now internally calibrating my opinion of you. If I find out that someone is a year or two younger or older than I thought they were, it rocks me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I'm so obnoxious. I have at least one to two friends left that are 29, and I fully hold it over them.
Rude.
And I'm like, you don't know pain.
Rude.
You don't know sacrifice. Well, there's a 2-year age difference between us, but
no,
it's just so different.
They haven't
now.
Crossed over the veil yet.
No.
Whenever someone that I respect and am vaguely close with posts hey, come to my 27th birthday, I'm you've been rude this entire you're rude.
Everyone to me is either 23 or 27. That is it a joke? I'm not sure. But sometimes in the right setting at the right bar in New York, people laugh because there's a lot of either 27-year-olds or 23-year-olds in the audience.
It's true.
So yeah, bullied. I would say the ones that I just mentioned were the ones people responded to the most. Anxiety, not being able to ride a bike, not having cable. And then the surprise one that I didn't even add, which was being bullied. So I'm curious, since there's so much overlap in a lot of these things, what would you, and I can answer this question first, but why do you think these are the things we all have in common as Frasier fans?
I think it's a show that rewards having a rich interior life. And I think these are all things that contribute to that. It's a show that plays on French farce tropes, mm-hmm. and the entire writer's room was all playwrights. And I think it's a lot of indoor kids. Mm-hmm. I was I would categorize myself as an indoor kid who loved nature, but I do think that there are outdoor indoor kids. You can love the outdoors while still being genetically an indoor kid.
I just know that I didn't like sports.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just thought kids were really mean and I was very sensitive. And, you know, I still remember trying to serve a volleyball senior year and missing and just being fully horrified for an hour.
Miss.
I had the ball and I tried to hit it and my hand flew up, if that makes any sense.
Did it connect with the ball at all?
No. I dropped it.
It was right in front of you.
No, I was nervous. Everyone was looking at me.
I'm going to bully you now.
No, please.
No,
don't
it's okay. Volleyball's hard.
Those are the little things that I remember.
Man.
And I know that nobody, and in the small times that I was what I'll call bullying, obviously I remember those things, but I do wonder, because I wonder if I'm friends with anyone that used to be a bully, and I just don't think that I am, but I always wonder if those, if the actual bullies ever think about it.
I don't think they do, because like, I think, I feel like bullying is so, for the most part, like on the like low end of the spectrum, like it's sort of a fleeting thing, and like you don't register it as being a bully is because you're like, oh, everyone's doing it. Like, I'm sure when I think back on like fourth grade, it was like, oh, there's this kid, Anthony, who's like so gross. We like all hate him. But like, I don't know how much that came out of my mouth.
Right.
But it was just sort of like, oh, yeah, we all think that.
I think that there were definitely people I remember in specific instances. And then when you put it like that, yeah, I have a feeling they've never given it a second thought. Oh, no, this is what I was going to say. Collectively, I feel like when you talk about the kids that we all instinctively were like, he smells, he's gross. But now when I'm like, no, he wasn't that, he was fine. Then I'm like, I think I got bullied into being into bullying.
Whoa.
In those instances where you're like, oh, I can't talk to this person because everyone thinks that that person is a loser for some reason.
Yeah.
But now in retrospect, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with them. I just wasn't brave enough because then I was afraid I was going to get picked on.
I know.
If I hung out with that person.
I did try to boycott my best friend's birthday party because she wouldn't invite this one girl who was uncool, who I had been friends with in like first grade. And I was like, if you don't invite her, I'm not coming. And she was like, well, I'm not friends with her. And it's a small party. And I was like, well, I'm not coming. And she was like, okay, well, I'm not going to invite her. And then I think I went. I was like, we have to include her. And she was like, there's like 8 people coming and I haven't talked to this girl in years.
Well, you tried.
I tried. You took but a also, stand. Yeah, I don't know, man.
One more thing. There was one more category that somebody added, which was antiquing.
Oh, God. Was that the one that someone said one?
What?
There's like one person who's an antiquer.
It was like two. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
no.
One person said I antique, and then a second person was like, me too. So I put it cute. In honorable mentions.
Good for them. They don't have dust allergies. I feel like antiquing is not for Jews because like.
I am Jewish, FYI.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't know that. But
that's great.
If you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, my handle is Anita Jutina because I'm Jewish and Latina.
That's great.
So.
Are you, what, where are you from? What's your
background? My mother is a Connecticut Jew.
Great.
That's where she's from. That's where her parents are from. And then my great grandparents, one's from Russia and one's from Lithuania. And then my dad is from Lima, Peru, and he's Catholic.
Great.
And he's Catholic.
We love that.
So I want to tell you that so you know this is a safe area to make Jewish jokes.
Thank God.
Or just Jewish commentary.
Yeah.
But I interrupted
love that.
You.
No, I literally.
Jews can't go antiquing or Jewish
we can't
people.
Go. Yeah, the dust allergies.
I didn't even think of that. Is that a thing?
There's a lot of dust on antiques.
You know, I will say on my mom's side, the Jewish side, my cousins had the most allergies.
Oh, yeah.
Especially my young lady cousin, who's the same age as me, had some of the worst allergies of anyone I've ever met. And I don't know where that comes from. But it was my mother's side of the family.
And a lot of recessive genes.
They also had, unfortunately, and maybe as the only other Jewish person in this room, would you say acne is a thing that happens to Jewish people? Or is that just...
I don't know. I think that's like in the dairy drama.
Interesting.
Maybe. That was also some crossover.
That was also on my mom's side. I like to try and reiterate too, because to me this is the same thing as when supermodels are like, I love to eat burgers and lie. But for me, like I have good skin and I like to tell people the honest truth, which is I don't feel that I've ever taken very good care of my skin. I do think that it's genetic. So I just like to mention that.
That's
you
good.
Know, so people don't think I have a regimen or something, you know?
Yeah.
I did start using Cetaphil.
Oh, yeah?
That's it.
How you dig it?
I like it.
You like it?
I mean, I just do it because I just enough people in my life have been like, you have to wash your face every day. I'm like, okay, fine.
You were like a character in a movie where people tell you what you need to do to better yourself to your face, which I don't think I've ever done that once.
I think it just comes from a place of in the occasional times that I've gotten zits, I know it's because, I could probably just stop. I should just stop washing my face and see what happens.
Go for it.
I get like a zit 3 to 4 times a year, and it's usually in the summer.
Good for you.
So,
congrats.
All right, I'm done bragging. Okay, before we wrap up, I would like to know a little bit about your Frasier history. So, how did you get into the show? How old were you?
My dad definitely watched it when I was little. It was part of like the Frasier Seinfeld sort of
block
combo. Yeah. So Seinfeld was sort of like the lowbrow kind of like these people are like real. And then Frasier was sort of the like white tie version of Seinfeld. To me, the shows were the same as a child, except for one was British people in a bigger apartment with a piano in it.
Got it.
And then I think Netflix did a big push where it was like on everyone's recommended page.
Frasier?
For like a while, because all of a sudden everyone was watching Frasier and being like, so random that I'm watching Frasier. And it was like, this was a meeting that happened at like a corporation where they decided to push this show.
See, that I want to know who did that. Because
probably.
I know why, the reason this podcast exists. Like, granted, I did watch Frasier while it was on, and I definitely watched it in syndication, but I would never have had this much access to it. And when it came on Netflix, I started watching it a lot. And then I thought, everyone's got a podcast. What's mine going to be about? And then I went with Frasier.
You went with Frasier, and that actually is a service.
Yeah.
It's funny. When you said, do you watch stuff in the background? Frasier was like that for me. So there are big episodes where I just don't remember it. That would be like, I think it was my second year at SNL. I would put it on a Sunday and then just sort of wake up and then fall back asleep sporadically, and then Frasier would just be on. And I'd have to be like, is it worth repeating this episode?
It's soothing.
Yes. I also found it to be torture waiting for Niles and Daphne to get together, and I get why they can't.
Yeah.
As a TV writer, I like don't want conflict to ever happen, and I want everything to be fine, which is like
It's
not a great quality.
Well, if you're writing, it's probably, I assume, different if you're writing sketches versus like a show that has to maintain a sexual chemistry for.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is like a handful of sketch comedy TV shows, and most other TV shows are not sketch. So when I do those other ones, it's a gear shift.
Sure. Yes. Conflict. Bad.
I'm like, what if the character just gets what they want right away? No one has a problem with it and they lose nothing.
Maybe you should write that in for yourself. See what happens.
I know.
Maybe you already have. I don't know.
It'll be the first form-based pilot that is not meant to be produced. It's purely for reading.
I mean, if I look at it from far away, when you're talking about conflict on Frasier, to me, his life, I think it seems lovely. Just... you know, he's close with his family. I mean, this is a whole fantasy that I have. Like, there's actually an episode of Black Mirror that, as scary as it sounded at first, I'm like, no, I would have that, but with Frasier. Do you watch Black Mirror ever?
I can't.
That's fine.
Too stressed.
It's fine.
Anxiety.
I'll just tell you one premise of an episode.
Please.
Which is just that there's like a guy who, he's like a tech nerd. And
his phone has a boob, and it's like, wow, that's like us.
He falls in love with the boob. But he essentially works with people, and he feels like they're ignoring him. So he like steals their DNA. That part doesn't really make sense. But he steals their DNA from cups, from spoons, and makes like digital versions of them and puts them in his favorite TV show that he turns on in his head. It's very it's hard to explain. I'm not doing a good job. But essentially he like, you know, flips a switch and gets to like be the star in a Star Trek type show with all of these people that don't really pay attention to him in real life. This is what I want, but with Frasier, I do. Like, as an only child and as a person who's like too attached to their friends and all of their loved ones, I love the idea of being able to hang out with everyone all the time. And that's why I love sitcoms so much, because you're all stuck together all the
time. You're all sitting on one side of a table together.
Yeah, Friends is like that too. Obviously has not stood the test of time, but the premise, and if you are watching these shows over and over, it is a bit mind-boggling to me, this idea that they never leave. They're always in the same like 2 to 3 places. And on Friends, the only activity they really do, having rewatched this again, they play cards a lot.
Oh, really?
It's really all that really goes on. Eating and playing cards.
It's producible.
It is very producible. But yes. Oh yeah. I don't know how I got this onto my Frasier fantasy. But yeah, I think Frasier is a very comforting show.
We do it would be nice for the characters to just get everything they want right away.
Absolutely. And so you said you rewatched Frasier again last year, you said?
No, this was all the same time that I watched it.
Oh,
like, okay. I just watched it after seeing it as like a 4-year-old.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Which you can't really comprehend. Frasier is it's not for children.
No, definitely not.
I guess it's for certain children, but in general, en masse, not the target demo.
I think you've already answered this question. Well, is your favorite character Roz, or do you have another?
No.
Oh, who's your favorite character?
Niles. I have a crush on him.
Me too.
I know.
He's the best.
I like that he has a bird.
He has a bird. That is true.
I also am dumb because I'm like, anytime I see or notice like a pattern in a show where like, oh, this character's flaw is this, so they continue to make a mistake in this vein. And I'm always like, maybe they won't make the mistake. Like, as I was watching it, I kept being like, maybe we'll see Maris this episode. I kept really thinking, I get tricked.
Actually, good segue. Who is there anyone, and this could be from any time period again, that you could picture playing Maris if she were a real person? And it's tough because we know she's like barely a woman who's there. She's on diets. She's got lots of plastic surgery. But who do you think could embody her personality?
I think maybe like, you know, those bathrobes that are like waffle print?
Possibly.
Like that. It's like the square print. It's not a terry cloth robe. It's the ones with like a bunch of little squares on it.
Yes.
Like, and maybe
I know
that,
what you're talking about. What?
Like, rolled up really thin, and then that is wearing a big bathrobe. I think that would be a good casting.
Does she have a voice? Whose voice would play the bathrobe?
I think it's more like the wind in the willows kind of sound. Like a... I feel like, realistically, a Lara Flynn Boyle would have been their best bet.
Oh my God, I've
oh,
that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know.
I've said that too.
I know.
I specifically thought of Lara Flynn Boyle... during the time when she was dating Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And she walked the red carpet in this almost ballet-inspired outfit with what looked like slippers.
I remember. Yeah, those lace-up things.
And I just – the outfit was its own thing, but I just remember however old I was, thinking, wow, she's frighteningly thin. That was – I mean –
That's the thing.
It's a lot.
People are small in the 90s.
They're very small. Not now.
Not now. I resent the aesthetic of like middle school dropout, like sort of teen wearing a bucket hat. I think this is a time that rewards small boobs again. And I think we're all just going to have to hold our breath until it's over, because I can't not wear a bra or someone's going to get injured.
Yeah, I envy from the time that I had to start wearing a bra, the young ladies. Women, at
you
least I'm not
are
saying girls.
Absolutely addicted to saying young ladies. I would say girls would be better. I think young ladies is scary.
Girl.
I think you're a predator.
Girl, no, don't start that rumor on the show. Girls.
Gals
with small breasts that can walk around without a bra, more power to you, is what I say.
I mean,
it'll never happen. It was never in the cards for me.
Anytime someone's like, yeah, I love this dress, it's just hard because, like, I have to wear a bra with it. And I'm like, oh, you mean like life?
The thing that makes me angry is when I have this mentality sometimes when I see a woman with small breasts pulling off a braless look, even a part of me is thinking free spirit. And I know that comes from films or television. Because then I think of me not wearing a bra walking down the street. And it's like, lady, what are you doing?
The older I get, the more I'm like aware that I won't be able to like look like shit in public anymore. Otherwise I will look a little homeless, just a little bit.
I've definitely been there. I used to wear baggy pants in high school. That was my aesthetic, fully baggy clothes.
It was
more from a place of like being, you know, a little self-conscious about breasts and bodies and things like
that.
Oh
yeah. 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 Believe me.
Not anymore.
I'm now going to the Emmys, which is a cool thing. I've done it before. I'm aware that it's a cool thing.
Cool.
It is a like trying to find a dress that where you can just wear a normal bra is like you can't.
Dang.
And I don't want to wear a strapless bra ever again in my entire life.
I hate
because
strapless bras.
I think once you've had a job where you are actually helpful and good at it and contribute, strapless bras don't work on you anymore. Like, I think strapless bras are for people who don't contribute much.
Interesting.
I think once you work hard enough, you need straps.
Oh, I was, I thought you were going with, if you contribute to society, then you shouldn't have to wear.
Oh no, a strapless that was bra. Not what I was going for. That was not what I was going for at
but
all.
But as punishment if you don't contribute to society.
No, I think like if you're still in the part of your life where a strapless bra works, you're not essential to the company.
It's never worked for me.
No.
It's tough. I mean, you know.
It's a lie we tell ourselves.
Boobs, like, what are you gonna
it's
do?
Sort of like the vaginal orgasm. Like, yes, of course, some people, but that cannot continue to be a standard we apply to all of us.
Okay. One last question.
Yeah.
I guess, well, yeah. I know what my answer is to this. My favorite episode of Frasier is the Ski Lodge. It's okay if you don't remember a name, but do you remember an episode that's like an episode you go back to a lot?
I mean, I really, it's sort of a basic bitch one, but the restaurant.
I don't think that's basic bitch. It's early.
Classic. Is it early? Yeah. That's like season one.
I think it's season one or season two. It's early.
I love it because it's a lot of, I really like Frasier and Niles. I also am a big Martin Crane person. Like the last thing I want is for people to listen to this and come away like, oh, she doesn't like Martin. Like, obviously I love Martin. That's how you get Eddie. That. I'm an owner of a Jack Russell type dog. I'm, of course, loyal to the Martin Eddie ethos. But for me, a Niles Frasier is like the show.
Yeah.
And that episode has it.
Yeah, them competing is always great.
It's really good. I love when they shout at each other, which is a lot of the time, but yeah. It always makes me happy.
Yeah, watch or listen to an early episode of this podcast, probably the first, second, or third episode, which is just about Frasier and Niles's sort of the fact that they're constantly butting heads and competing with each other.
I love that.
So there's an episode for everything you love about Frasier on this podcast.
Perfect.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I believe in this podcast.
Thank you so much. Is there anything that you want to plug or share where people should follow you and not in real
follow
life?
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Anna Drezin. Instagram is mostly pictures of my dog, which I think is a credit to me.
Lady Bird.
Twitter is mostly little thoughts, little ideas that I have.
Yeah. A delight. I believe I follow you on Twitter. Yeah, and it's great.
Thank you.
It's great. Follow Anna only on Twitter. And same with me too, just on Twitter. So thanks again, Anna. And until next time, good night, Seattle.